This podcast is shared for the purposes of information only. The discussion does not reflect a direct or implied endorsement by Municipal World or its members.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. Thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. This is the second episode in a two-part series looking at cybersecurity challenges for local government. In the last episode, we looked at current cyber threats and why local governments are increasingly becoming targets for such attacks. Back with us today in our virtual studio to continue that conversation is public policy consultant Henry Ayore. Welcome back, Henry.
Thank you very much, Susan, for having me.
So in the last episode, we chatted about current cyber threats and the fact that local governments are increasingly becoming targets. Today, let's talk about what municipalities should be doing and the risks of not doing something. What are the implications for local governments and for citizens if drastic measures aren't taken to address the cybersecurity threats?
I believe the implications is going to be a continuation of disruption of services, a continuation of people's personable identifiable information being stolen, and more importantly, for citizens, they're going to lose public trust in their government, their local government. If you can't access services that you need in the right time, or if you can't drink the water because someone has hacked into the system and is pouring sewage into the water system, you're going to lose public trust, right? And the overall, you know, the importance of local governments to the local citizens, because they're the closest to the community, they have the most impact right away with local citizens. So the continuation of these attacks, I believe, is going to erode public trust between citizens and governments, and also with the integration of these technologies with a lot more critical infrastructure, I think you're going to see a lot more injuries in terms of the attack that is going to happen. It's no longer just going to be taking ransom into a computer. It's going to be a lot more critical and a lot more critical for citizens if the necessary steps are not taken to address these issues.
So when we chatted last time, you mentioned, you know, some of these increased risks for municipalities that, you know, perhaps they hadn't thought about or, you know, recognize the vulnerability. And a lot of it is associated with smart cities and increasingly, you know, working to deliver services for the community online. Maybe could you just recap a little bit on that about what some of these threats look like?
Yeah, for sure. You know, some of these threats are for end users. Like I mentioned, some of these threats is just clicking on the wrong email. So being aware that you clicking on one email could have a devastating impact to the whole organization is key. It just requires one person to click one wrong link for the whole cybersecurity program to be destroyed. So recognizing end users' security awareness is key. The other threats I will say would be right now in the middle of COVID, you know, security administrators and also municipal staff are not working at offices. They're all working remotely. this has also created other challenges, because when you are working in the infrastructure of the IT department, say at an office, you're a lot more protected. But when you're working remotely, oftentimes employees don't use the same security hygiene, or they don't understand what certain for example, when I'm at home, I will not be using my work email and be browsing the internet at the same time. The reason for that is because if my computer gets compromised, they have a chance to compromise my email. And if my email is compromised, they could sort of spy on me. Everything I send out, they're going to know. So that's one of the biggest threats, is emails, because once they get into your email, they're able to see all your communications that you're doing with your managers, the third vendors, anybody. So that would be some of the key issues that I will point out.
And last time you mentioned about the vulnerability of critical municipal systems potentially as well. Even to the extent of, someone who was unsuccessful in a job application, there's actually a case of this, yes, that they were able to hack into the water system.
Yeah, absolutely. So in Australia, in the state of Queensland, there was a disgruntled employee who did not get a job with the local government, who ended up taking revenge by hacking into the waste management system. So for 2 months, the attacker programmed computers to spill hundreds of thousands of gallons of raw sewage into the local rivers, parks, and public areas before authorities were able to identify him. You know, so it took 2 months for them to realize that this is happening. Right? And this was a major, major issue that was happening. Most attacks don't want you to know this, though. So this is one aspect of what could happen. Why is it important? Well, according to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, local government control approximately 60% of the public infrastructure that supports the Canadian economy and life. So you can imagine destruction of these critical infrastructures by cyber attacks could have significant security for both the federal, provincial, and municipal, because again, municipal governments are involved with the different agencies who they interact with. So their critical infrastructure is important. Like I mentioned, they control a lot of critical infrastructures, which is very enticing to cyber criminals to destroy.
And when we talked about too, the leverage that they have then, because these services are so important, ransomware attacks on these kinds of services and systems, municipalities are often then placed in a situation where they have little option but to pay the ransom.
Absolutely. Again, because they're in a position where they have to pay, they're also in a position where, again, sometimes legislation from the federal, provincial governments authorizes them to, it doesn't authorize them to pay, but it stipulates that they follow certain instructions of how to protect people's information. So oftentimes these breaches happen and they don't even tell us about it because they know that there's implications for either getting fined, you know, significant penalties for not protecting individuals' identifiable information. So yes, municipalities are at disadvantage, as you mentioned, because of a lot of the issues we've outlined in terms of critical infrastructure, in terms of the importance of services that municipal governments provide, and so forth. So yes, it's important to take these issues seriously.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Henry Ayurwe. It's time to pull the curtain back on local government. In his new book, Who's Driving the Greater?, Ian McCormick explains the core principles needed to steer municipal leaders from an uninspired abyss. Drawing from real-life encounters in local government, Ian puts a passionate and humorous spin on the modern issues facing municipalities today. With a foreword by local government legend George Cuff, this book offers a valuable shock of insight and nuance for local leaders everywhere. It's on sale now in our bookstore at books.municipalworld.com. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Henry Ayurwe. So last time we talked to you about, the number of risks and the number of points of vulnerability, and there's a lot of them, right? And different threats out there and different motivations for those threats. So it's a vast area where municipalities are susceptible to these things. Can you provide us with some strategies and recommendations for local governments then in trying to cover off all these bases?
Absolutely. I think the most important strategies, like you said, cybersecurity is very in-depth and it covers significant amount of domains, but for local governments, and obviously resources matter. The city of Toronto or the city of Vaughan is going to be able to afford a lot more. They have a lot more resources to hire adequate staff to implement proper security programs than a smaller municipality. But some of the key strategies that I believe will work or will mitigate risk, because at the end of the day, you cannot eliminate all the risks. You can only do so much to mitigate it or to reduce the risk. So some of the key strategies I believe will be, number one, understanding what the vulnerabilities are within your system. What that means is every single technology has vulnerabilities. So you have to do a risk assessment to understand, okay, I have these systems, maybe they're from 1998. So new security patches are not being updated. So you have to replace that. So one thing I'll say is that to start, so it kind of gives a bit of context, is cybersecurity is a business. Ransomware is a business. So like any business, cyber criminals take a cost benefit analysis. As already explained, a lot of these attacks could be mitigated if the right steps are taken. So number one, the one thing I will say is risk assessment, identifying all the issues within your systems to understand what you have, the risks associated with those risks. And then most important thing is security development education. Training your staff to really understand what cybersecurity is. I think this is one of the key areas of deficiencies with local governments, is that there's not enough security awareness programs within local governments. So I think that's key. And then having a formal cybersecurity plan. What a cybersecurity plan is, a formal cybersecurity plan identifies all the different areas of risk, and it allows you to be able to understand the risks associated with your internal and also external. So a formal risk is very important. And then I think municipalities have leverages. With a private sector organization, private sector organizations can share information between each other. TD cannot share information with BMO because of competition reasons, because of regulatory issues. But, you know, one thing municipalities can take advantage of or leverage is that they could share ideas between local governments, right? They could exchange information to try to reduce costs between municipalities. I think this is going to be key moving forward, because some of the same attack vectors, attack vector means how the cyber criminals get into the system, are the same. So if you identify a municipality has had the same attacks, you can also use the same, you know, security measures to try to mitigate these attacks. So I think leveraging partnership between municipalities is going to be very important moving forward. It's going to reduce costs. It's going to create almost like a threat intelligence in the cybersecurity. We call it threat intelligence, meaning that you're sharing threat intelligence with other security vendors. In this situation, other local municipalities.
Well, I think that's very helpful to you know, get some context for what the threats are and what municipalities should be doing, and the very real risks if they don't act and plan for these things. Thank you so much, Henry, for sharing these insights from your research. It's really been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Susan, for having me. It's been a pleasure sharing my knowledge. I hope it will help local governments out there take the proper and necessary step to help mitigate attacks. So thank you so much.
We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. I'm Susan Gardner for Municipal World, and we'll be back with more stories next week.